Hello, I'm Penelope Maver, and welcome to Earth Converse podcast, an exploration into our relationship and conversations with the earth, all in the hope of inspiring a deeper connection with ourselves, each other, and the earth that is our home. Today, I will start with a few lines of a poem. Maybe you'll recognize them. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. Yes, this is the start of The Summer Day, one of the many beautiful poems created by award-winning poet Mary Oliver, who passed away in 2019. Like so many of her poems, The Summer Day starts with life's big questions and then zeroes down to giving her undivided attention to a soul grasshopper. This grasshopper. All day, as she muses in her poem, tell me, what else should I have done? And the poem ends with the now famous line, which decorates walls and cushions as well as hearts. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Mary Oliver is revered as a nature-based poet. Her work is filled with geese, trees, bears, dogs and owls, the seasons, the sea, the sun and the stars. Human beings hardly get a mention, yet her poems celebrate our glorious humanity and our deep connection with nature. As she does with the summer day, she always invites us to pay attention, dance with the unknown, and make our life mean something. So for this episode, number 24 of the Earth Converse podcast, again to mix things up a little, I will explore poetry as an expression of our connection with ourselves, each other, and the world. I believe we're all poets, so forgive me if I just touch on a few offerings here, which even in their intimacy and expansiveness, by selecting them, may feel so narrow and limited, a mere drop in the endless ocean. But hopefully it stirs something within you, where you can take a moment to reflect on your favourite poets and poems, what poetry naturally means to you, and the role it particularly plays in your consciousness, being, and evolution. I will talk about poetry in nature, poetry in leadership, poetry in organisational life, and poetry as citizens of the earth. And as usual, I will include links in the episode extras. And every now and again, we'll mark a reflection point with the forest sound. Pause at that point or not, it is up to you. And so at this point, I invite you to reflect on your relationship with poetry. What is it? And your favourite poets, poems, what are they? What does poetry mean to you? For me, poetry seems to be a bridge or integrator between that logical and that feeling part of ourselves. I see it as that part of ourselves which is the gifted interpreter of our experiences, of our mirror, the gracious part who can dance with paradox, the light and the dark. In writing, reading, and listening to poetry, our imaginations are stirred and our feelings of belonging are heightened. It has the key to our essential nature. So too, poetry and nature. As you will have noticed, poetry is a key theme woven through the Earth Converse podcast conversations. And this is no surprise, for poetry is metaphorical, symbolic, mirrors inner and outer worlds, and is therefore naturally from nature, our true nature, and inspired by wider nature. How does nature inspire you in poetry? You may recall Emerald on episode 4 quoting poetry, and Jim's story on episode 21 about a turning point in his life, attending a nature, poetry, and soul seminar. Christiana offered two poems on episode 10 and has her own poetry book, Singing Bowl Poems. Gemma, from episode 7, weaves beautiful poetry into her book, There Is Light and Only Light. And I know Petra, Catherine, Diana, Thurston, and Jeannie also weave poetry in their work. Roy on episode 8 talked about writing poetry and mending a broken heart, and Ray on episode 14 talked about his significant life moment having read Robert Blythe's poetry book, Rag and Bones, on his vision quest, and ended up dancing with the alluring woman from the mountains of Bulgaria. Bridging our inner and outer worlds, poetry is the language of the soul. I certainly have my favourites, and even then, so many are translations. I can't imagine how beautiful they are in their original languages. And here's a challenge for you. Find out how many times Rumi and Rilke have been quoted so far on the Earth Converse podcast. One of my previous New Year's resolutions was to learn a poem by heart each month of the year. And as a result, I do have 12 well-memorized favorites, which I love to offer at the right time. Working with leaders, facilitating, coaching, or when mirroring stories, say on the solo together, I often turn to poetry to reflect back to the person what I am sensing and feeling from what they're saying. I love sending participants off for a solitude with Pablo Neruda's poem, Keeping Quiet. Here's an excerpt. Now we will count to 12, and we will all keep still. For once on the face of the earth, let's not speak any language. Let's stop for a second and not move our arms so much. The other day at our Women's and Men's Circle, I was able to quote Derek Walcott's Love After Love to help my friend, and it seemed to hit the spot. I turn to those poets who evoke soul and nature in me, and I enjoy widening my circle and knowledge of poetry and poems, how cultures and societies express themselves through poetry. And I love this recent find by poet Carlo Mila on mana. Mana is an oceanic word found in 29 living languages. Here it is. When you flow through my body, I know I am caught in the current of a river larger than the length of my own lifetime. It bends where we have all been before. Same rapids, other waters, our veins, my blood. I know I am in the flow of something greater than my own self. And on that, I will touch on poetry and leadership, poetry and organizational life, and poetry as a world citizen. Firstly, poetry and leadership. And leadership and poetry have long been connected. Many a leader has taken its guiding hand, whether that be to gain clarity from complexity or to provide comfort, to challenge or to celebrate, for sure to urge us towards truth and betterment. In essence, to progress in our humanity. To use the essence of John F. Kennedy's offering, when power leads us toward arrogance, poetry reminds us of our limitations. When power narrows the area of our concern, poetry reminds us of the richness and diversity of existence. Where power corrupts, poetry cleanses, for art establishes the basic human truths which must serve as the touchstone of our judgment. I'm curious about how do you see the connection between leadership and poetry. So now poetry and organizational life. I think poetry through the ages has been fed through work in all its guises, but here I will focus on the modern day organizational workplace, where through my own lens, I see poetry increasingly popping up. It ranges from the unspoken, quiet murmurings and underground ways to being actively encouraged and nurtured. Whether marketing is using the Japanese haiku form to sharpen their key messages, or teams are expressing their views on the most recent change through sharing their poems, there is transformation through this medium in the workplace. We have much to thank poets like David White for, who have boldly stepped into the corporate world. In 1996, he wrote The Heart Aroused, literally with the subtitle, Poetry and the Preservation of the Soul in Corporate America. In it, he has shown how poetry can create new conversations and improve working lives. As he reminds us, we are responsible for who we are, for how we live our lives, and for creating the organizations in which we work. He brings his unique perspective as a poet and consultant to the workplace, opening readers' eyes to a neglected side of corporate life, showing how fulfilling work can be when we face our fears and follow our dreams. Going beneath the surface concerns about products and profits, organization and order, he addresses the needs of the heart and soul and the fears and desires that many workers keep hidden. And I wonder, to what extent do you weave poetry into your work, and how does it serve you or could serve you in your workplace? I've mentioned previously that I collaborate with creative change agency Impact International, and with them we have been able to bring poetry into the program Experiential Mix to help leaders benefit from a fresh perspective and self-awareness in a way only poetry seems to engender. A memorable moment was witnessing how a finance director tapped into his own depths. In doing so, he found new ways of expressing himself in a tender poem. And in courageously sharing it amongst his peers, he found an inner source of power he hadn't felt before, going beyond his comfort of control and logic and revealing his vulnerability in a safe and creative way only added to his credibility. And opening up in this way, he inspired others to do the same. The conversations got more meaningful and real. Higher levels of empathy were felt, and ideas and connections were sparked. One of his colleagues in a previous cohort also counts his newfound identity as a poet as one of his key learnings and outcomes. He said he has become the one amongst his friends who writes poems to help others. In work, he has found a way to be his authentic self. Now that's poetry, is it not? And as Toni Morrison beautifully said, the best art is political, and you ought to be able to make it unquestionably political and irrevocably beautiful at the same time. So here I will touch on poetry as a citizen of the earth. As Krista Tippett from the show On Being, who brings in many poets' voices, articulated, poetry rises up in human societies when official words fail us and we lose sight of how to find our way back to one another, how to hear each other's voices. In one of her recent interviews with 2020 Pulitzer Prize winner Jericho Brown, she starts with a quote from Martin Farwell from the Dodge Foundation, who said, "I think poetry evolved to save us from ourselves. It questions our understanding of what it means to be human, and in the process, deepens our humanity. History teaches us, and the daily news reminds us, how easily we forget what it means to be human. Probably no other art form is better than poetry at getting us directly inside another's mind, experience, perspective. The ability to imagine someone else's inner life is where compassion begins." And with the tragic death and injustice of Breonna Taylor in the United States, again highlighting the institutional racism and pain of black women, Maya Angelou's powerful poem, I Rise, rose up en masse with Breonna Taylor's verdict. Again, not to quote the full poem, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise." And poets have long been the ones to say the unsayable and hold us all accountable. I've been recently drawn to the modern Nigerian poets through a 2016 thesis by Joyce Agufori entitled Modern Nigerian Poetry and the Environment, an Eco-Critical Study of Selected Poems of Tanere Ojade, Niye Ozundare, and Nimo Basi. Here is an excerpt from Nimo Basi's beautiful poem, powerfully titled We Thought It Was Oil, But It Was Blood. The other day, we danced in the street, joy in our hearts. We thought it was oil, but it was blood. What poems have you turned to or created around environmental and social justice, or as a citizen of the earth? Bill Plotkin reminds us that the soul poets were once called bards, the bards being those who take all the individual stories of the people and of the land itself and combines them into a great story, reminding us that nature and humanity are not separate. He quotes Dolores LaChapelle, philosopher, author, and leader in the deep ecology movement, who said, "The bard is one who puts together the drum, gourd rattle, and chanting of all the people into words and recites it back to his people so that they can continue to build their culture." Indeed, the bards are important in deepening our connection with ourselves, each other, and the earth, of contributing to how we reimagine the future. It seems indeed we turn to poetry to help us make sense of what is going on in our lives. Though things we can't seem to understand, explain, articulate, or dream, well, poetry seems to nail them. I remember 4 days after the US 2016 election, Brain Pickings' Maria Popova, in an inspiring act of leadership, teamed up with the Academy of American Poets for an emergency pop-up reading of poetry. They called it Verses for Hope. I too turned to poetry at this time, a time where I also wanted to tip my hat to or acknowledge the passing of poet and songwriter Leonard Cohen. This was my offering, called A Triumph. What can triumph from this? We shudder. The rumblings of the earth forewarned it. A little bird had told us, but it took a ballot box of a dirty dilemma to jolt us from our toxic slumber. Stumbling and fumbling in the darkness, created by our own hands, we shrug, sulk, snarl, and shout, while the lanky, melancholic poet quietly leaves the table, as he said he would, leaving us wondering about cracks in everything and questioning sorrow and redemption. Squinting towards the light, not yet convinced it is bright or bold enough to break through this bleak blackness, there amongst the rubble, we notice that for every breath in, there is a breath out. And as the leaves fall and the days constrict on one side, the blossom lifts and the days lengthen on the other, we are comforted that perhaps miracles do come. We just have to go to that edge, peel off our masks, unleash our chains, prick our ears, and stand there. And even if we sweat and squirm, we hold our nerve, trusting in the treaty between ourselves, of open hearts, of open minds, of open will. This will be our triumph. I'd love to hear your poetry experiences, your favorite poet or poem, how you want to become more intimate or expansive, or both in your poetry journey. For those who may be just starting on that, again, Bill Plotkin and Soulcraft offers, make a habit of reading the soul poets alone or with friends. Read each poem aloud, very slowly, at least twice each sitting. Let your imagination and feeling meander. Memorize some of your favorite soul poems. Recite them aloud in wild settings. Compose your own soul poetry. See how it deepens the connection and conversation with yourself, others, and the world. It might be indulgent, but I will leave you with another of mine. And this is about unlikely conversations, the ones we might not have. It is my first published poem, thanks to Holstie. A silent ending, a goodbye not said, leaving raw wounds, unseen tears, hearts of lead, lying dormant in the chasms of fear. To speak of it would be too much to bear. Directing a safe play of illusions, intolerant of mistime intrusions, we keep to the rehearsed script, oh so wise, rich in unspoken truths and spoken lies. Pursed lips stained by generational pain, harsh silence born of clipped feelings and strain. Resistant resolve, anger and whispers. No one skilled as talkers or listeners. Some conversations will never take place. Accepting this is our first act of grace. So we'll put a pause here and see you back for the next Earth Converse podcast. In the meantime, enjoy Earth, one conversation at a time.